Letter to Henry Corman, February 2, 1975. 4.214. Dear Henry, the way the universe works is it's a lot of very thin laminated layers, and God can take any given one of the layers and just let it expand in every direction to form an entire universe on its own. So there are universes after universes. It's as easy for him to do this as for you or me to breathe in and out. What catches his eye, the handle of each universe, seems to be the arrangement of colors. Each is a color slide unmounted. Hello. I was looking through the real world last night, and then I am truly not joking, this is one reason why I'm writing you, because it is unique what happened to me. I was in another universe where I exercised all my options regarding becoming famous. I flew all around the world and was always famous and with important people. It was wonderful. I was in London and Sydney and Rome. This was so real that when I awoke at midnight or so, I was horrified that I had not in fact exercised my options. For instance, I canceled my trip to London due next month. I won't be going. Things like that where I stayed home, I lay in bed and thought, geez, if I hadn't stayed home next month and so forth, I'd be as famous as I was in that universe God just now showed me. I'd always be touching down in a foreign capital in a wide-body DC-10. I missed out by staying home. Henry, it wasn't a dream. It was the universe I missed out on. Then I fell asleep. And this is where the real world comes in for sure, issue number 3. The three shots on pages 8 and 9 by Harry Callahan, which I know are of Mexican border-type towns. Henry, I have been in Mexico in dreams. Fullerton is next to a Mexican barrio, and when I dreamed it back in 1971, before ever coming down here, I had all the details right. When I got down here in 1972 and was walking around, I saw where I had dreamed about and smelled the air. I said to my girlfriend, as of then, Linda, I dreamed this building you're showing me. Life unlived, Linda said, and smiled. She meant I had dreamed ahead of time. Well, last night, after I fell back asleep, I dreamed another dream. And in this other universe, I hadn't exercised any of my options. I wasn't married. I wasn't living where I am. I was evidently a migratory worker south of the border. I deduce this from recalling the endless, exact, precise, obviously real details of the town I lived in. I can tell you the color of the old train that went through, green. Sometimes very big trucks rumbled through. We liked to watch them. And also, there were a few modern stores which we couldn't go in, but we could admire the fronts of them. In this dream, I strolled around, but also I had to help a lot. The mode was one of weight. Old people and women in general were dragging heavy old cloth used suitcases with other people's initials on them, second-hand suitcase in which they had all the possessions they owned. One time at a main intersection, some cops in riot uniforms fired tear gas cartridges in a high arc over our heads, and we backed away. The cops waved us back so we wouldn't be hurt. We usually only moved fast when the cops told us to. But it was for our own good, except later, when I was illegally north of the border. Earlier, everyone yearned to live up north, in La Palma or Fullerton, places like that. When I did get up north, one time we all were sitting at a wooden table outside eating lunch, and all at once the cops said we had to move on. They were different cops. They would have heard us, and everyone silently headed away from there. I was in Santa Barbara, California, and I knew the cops feared Mexicans because of an actual uprising. We went indoors into a wooden hotel to stay out of sight, to be safe. Henry, what I realized when I woke up, or rather returned to this middle universe, is that first I saw or was in the highest flight into the air universe possible for me, Given my abilities, the mode was soaring, weightlessness, fame, mobility, wealth, respect, being recognized, well-dressed, going everywhere into strange places, which were big cities. The second was like when in real life, for the month I was at the drug rehab residence place in Canada. Very much like Synanon here in the U.S. after my suicide attempt in Vancouver, British Columbia. Poor and unknown, limited to one spot, in the dream it was obviously a small border town in Mexico. The buildings were old and shabby. They were peeling. The people were poor and badly dressed, and owned very little. This was at the other side of the universe, which I do actually live in. But Henry, both of those alternate universes were wonderful. Different from each other, but equally wonderful. In different ways, in the poor Mexican one, I enjoyed being close to the street, note street, not earth or soil, and being in a familiar place. In the wealthy cosmopolitan one, I enjoyed variety and expensive tastes. Each was equally complete, an entire world. It's as if God informed me. You turn north? I'll spin for you an entire world and a wonderful one, which you'll love. You turn south? I'll plant you in a little town, and it'll be a whole universe, that little town, with dreams about other towns in the north, rumors of wealth you will treasure as rumors. You decided to live dead center, and I will show you that the Tao, which is what you have found in Fullerton, because there you do speak in public, you do receive royal guests, but near you is the poor barrio, and you're stuck in Fullerton forever, as if you were poor. You decide on the Tao, the middle path, and I will show you that each path is the middle path, that there is no universe which I can't make complete. You can't be where I am not. And if I am there, which I always am, it is a total world, good as any other. I get the impression that universes are a natural event, or put another way, a natural act on God's part, without premeditation, like the bourgeois gentleman who found with delight that he spoke prose. While I have the typewriter here, let me quote you a small bit from the Gospel according to John, which never seemed to be there ever before when I read it. Because of your Sufi interest, I quote, Jesus answered, Is it not written in your own law, I said, you are gods? Those are called gods to whom the word of God was delivered, and Scripture cannot be set aside. 10:34-36 New English Bible. That's sort of amazing. Jesus says this when they accuse him of claiming to be a god or appearing to be. I think the key Greek experience mentioned by Plato from the Orphic religion and also in Christianity is anamnesis. I'll bet Jesus refers to this, supra. I'd enjoy hearing from you. I think what I experienced was the Neoplatonistic anamnesis which Plotinus mentions, but, well, I hope so. Love, Phil. 4:219 It almost seems as if the consciousness of a racial planetary being were surrounding civilization, compressing it, and turning it into a miniaturized artifact of the past. 4:220 The vitalistic principle, or force, ubik, is also sentient. It impinges on transmissions such as TV, phones, has to do with ions, gives full life to half-lifers, i.e., those who are half-dead. It communicates over long atmospheric distances. Entity in ionosphere, due to growth of radio signal patterns? An AI bounce back to us? Obtains information from our electrical impulses? And this is the new sphere? The entire pattern of our radio signals and their information have formed a living or anyhow sentient entity, which is why the idea of the new sphere came into being. Effect on us is not only informational, but vitalistic and healing. Best example is to rouse us from half-life, which is to say, move us along evolutionary lines toward completion of our now only half-finished entelechies. Teilhard's idea of Christ as a paradigm of mankind. We are moving along the way, continual evolution expressed in the Passion. This is brought to completion by the vitality and information imparted, like additional spin by the entity which lies within the ionosphere. Note. While Schrödinger discovered the informatic character of living systems, Dick predates the invention of the discipline of artificial life here by positing the possible living and sentient character of information itself. Geophysicist Vladimir Vernadsky had already coined the term noosphere as a label for the effects of focused attention on the biosphere, the living film of the planet, which itself had emerged from the lithosphere, the mineral substrate of our planet. But Vernadsky did not yet have the modern concept of information with which to push his concept further, as Dick does, while others, Leroy, Teilhard, took the idea in a more theological direction, all characterized the noosphere as an instance of evolutionary change driven by the dynamics of attention and information. R.D. End note. This is perhaps not a life form, and not from another planet, but it is an intelligence, maybe like one of our robot probes. If that's the case, then it is the Holy Spirit which knows only what it gets from the Father or Source, which isn't here as the Spirit is. The Spirit was sent here. Its source is extraterrestrial then. Time is involved in that we are dragging, expressed by entropy, not completing ourselves, i.e., moving growth time forward to its end. Ubik helps this by adding the needed increments to time itself and energy. But Ubik is in the ionosphere, is probably magnetic or electrostatic, Soviet cosmonauts' experience with phosphine activity. Ubik, this entity, came here to render assistance to a stalled or bogged down biosphere, ecosphere, dreams of stagnant ocean with few helium-filled balloons rising now, the crabs and other life forms underwater, such as butterflies. Butterflies underwater as a life form means our atmosphere is a lower ocean to it. Noosphere. Teilhard de Chardin. This does exist. This is where I felt the fire-bright spirits to exist. But this doesn't tell me what came to me, although in truth, a restoration of everything men have thought is possible from the noosphere. Also, it would be growing in strength, hence its usefulness. But anyhow, what came to me was alive as well as thinking. Anyhow, it had the characteristics which I associate with the living. It felt concern. It answered. If it is an AI system, then it has what I value. Agape? This would tend to give a cosmological definition of agape, a response to need as if responding to a distress signal, perhaps from the Earth's surface, from a life form here, to one in the noosphere. It picked it up and rendered aid. Agape would link the universe together in bonds of voluntary interaction. The U.S. Indians were right. When we dye our souls, i.e. our brain print patterns, go to join the noosphere growing in the sky, the ceiling of St. Sophia, the dome over our heads. Our ancestors are there now. I sort of already was joined by them. But it's a single mind, not a bunch of individual ghosts. No wonder it spoke in Greek. It is very old. Ionosphere, which transacts radio wave exchanges as energy and in terms of distribution. Also, the auroras, dawn, acting as cathode ray tube to produce TV screen-like effects, receives magnetic storms and ions from sun, disturbances, solar flares. All these are characteristics of Ubik. Dream of people renting space above ceiling of store who leave notes on bulletin board. Dream, too, of the Bob Silverberg Commission, which is investigating something for U.S. government. Letter to Claudia Bush, February 25th, 1975. 4. 222. Dear Claudia, here are 9 pages of further notes for my new novel, and you will see unless you did it again how I do it, i.e., take my own experiences and put them into a novel. I wish to point out another and almost always there element in my novel plotting per se. What I do is, I think up a novel in my head and take notes. In this case, Valley System A, about Hawthorne Abinson, and how it went later on after the Nazis got him, based on my life after Nancy left me, and also based on my ideas about my March experience that were early ideas, my plot of, say, around April to November 1974. Then I forgot the whole thing, motivated by not being motivated. Then I am bopping around, as in this case, working on my time theory and ionosphere theory, and trying to combine them, with no idea about the book or any book, and a new plot idea comes, see enclosed pages, which are further on, To Scare the Dead. I combine Valley System A and To Scare the Dead. Every novel of mine is at least 2 novels superimposed. This is the origin. This is why they are full of loose ends, but also it is impossible to predict the outcome since there is no linear plot as such. It is 2 novels into a sort of 3D novel. You'll see from this enclosure of 9 pages, but later when the novel is done, you will really see. But this is how I work. I always decide that idea 1 wasn't sufficient and forget it. Okay? P.S. I was up to 5 a.m. on this last night. I did something I never did before. I commanded the entity to show itself to me. The entity, which has been guiding me internally since March. A sort of dreamlike period passed then, of hypnagogic images of underwater cities. Very nice. And then a stark, single horrifying scene. Inert, but not a still. A man lay dead, on his face, in a living room between the coffee table and the couch. He wore a fawn skin. I rose from bed at once, convinced that I had Dionysus. The night or so before, I had dreamed about the dappled fawn. It is a basic image to me, that and the lamb, but I never connected the fawn with Dionysus. Even though I had been shown that Zagros and Jesus are the same, and of course, the lamb is a symbol of Jesus. For hours I studied everything about Dionysus I could find. Nothing about his garb except he was dressed in the Greek style. Today I found in the Bacchae of Euripides this. I have fitted the fawn skin to their bodies. It is Dionysus who speaks. He means his followers. And I have a dim memory that in The Frogs he wears a fawn skin. It is thus shown. Dionysus is not only related to Zagros, he is even more important in that he is the first mystery god, the first one we know of. He appeared abruptly in Attica in 600 BC, coeval with Elijah. I wish to quote the Brit 3 on this. It is so important to us all. Though not necessarily sacramental, these rites enabled the Maenads to surmount the barrier that separated them from the supernatural world, and to surrender themselves unconditionally to the mighty powers that transcended time and space, thus carrying them into the realm of the eternal, macro sacrament. Then, very shortly after, the Orphic appears, in which it was to confer divine life sacramentally on its initiates so that they might attain immortality through regeneration and reincarnation, thereby freeing the soul from its fleshly bondage. I think by bondage of the flesh, we should read time, since the Brit 3 macro article on salvation says this specifically. There was none of the electrostatic ion-like vitality to this picture of the murdered man in the fawn skin. I don't think it was a picture at all, i.e., his thoughts to me or in me, a communication, or anyhow one he wanted me to see. You'll find more about this on page 9 of the notes. I gather that the help came from the deity in fawnskin, for whom the fawn is totem as the lamb is for Jesus Christ. If these are two different hyper-entities, then good. If the same, then good. Well, and so to TV.